Step by Step is brought to you by OpenStore. OpenStore offers unparalleled convenience for a Shopify store owner like yourself who is looking for a hassle-free way to sell the business. That's right, you can sell your business on OpenStore. Visit open.store/FC and get an extra $10,000 if you sell through our link. Thank you so much to OpenStore for sponsoring this season of Step by Step.
Hello and welcome to Step by Step, a podcast by Future Commerce presented by OpenStore. I'm Brian.
And I'm Philip. And this is season 11. And we're almost here at the end of our Step by Step week. I can't believe we've done this 11 times, Brian. It's kind of an incredible journey. We've learned so much over the years. This is kind of our point in the journey to tell you we've covered a lot on Step by Step over the last few years, from demystifying venture capital and private equity to talking about the differences between 3PL, 4PL, shipping providers. I have learned a lot about this e-commerce industry over the last few years in Step by Step, and this season is no different. Because we're sitting down with founders who have built and sold e-commerce businesses and architected their dream exit, and they're going to teach you how to do that too. And today we're going to sit down and we're going to do it all over again here in this fourth episode of this five-part series.
And that means that if you're just jumping in, you need to go back to the beginning and listen to episodes 1 through 3, because there's a lot we're building on here. This is another inspirational story. An entrepreneur who really was thoughtful about how to build solid fundamentals and be really smart about like what kinds of skills to lean into, where to bring in help, how to keep the business in a really, really fundamental place, like a solid fundamental place, and just really build something that's architected in a smart way so that when someone did go look to buy it, the fundamentals were good and got an awesome offer, an incredible offer from OpenStore, who's sponsoring the series. Yet another story of a successful exit. And so if you're listening to this and you are wondering, well, I feel like I have the capability of starting my own business, but I don't even know how to take the next steps and build something that someone would want to buy at some point, this is the right season for you.
That's right. And I think just hearing in founders' own words what made them successful, and it's different for every brand, it's different for every founder, really kind of completes a picture for me and fills in some pieces that have been missing as to what it really truly takes to build a successful business. Not to build a successful online store or a suite of Shopify apps, but to build a successful business. Because at the end of the day, it's the business that's getting bought, not the brand. They're buying the whole thing, inventory and all. And I think that when you hear from Manny Estrada, who founded Werva, in Manny's own words, he tells us that for him, it was giving an opportunity to a whole group of people who had helped to build this over time. And he cared about their livelihood and their outcome too, because nobody builds anything alone.
Another thing that just was an incredible takeaway for me is that if you're thinking about doing this, you can do this. Like
it's Manny, possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Manny took steps and he just marched right through it. And I was inspired by that. Like if you're listening to this and you want to start a business, you can do it.
Yeah. And it's like we typically put founders on this sort of pedestal of, you know, they're a certain kind of a person. The thing that's been impressed upon me in this season is everyday people that, you know, come from all walks of life who all had different challenges. A lot of these businesses were started during the pandemic. You know, a lot of people, you know, discovered and found their way through it and learned the same way that you're learning right now. And they're creating something that will be life-changing for them later on. And that's true aspiration for me. So without any further ado, we're going to ask the question today to Manny Estrada, the founder of Werva. What is the role of solid fundamentals in scaling a business and scaling it to exit? We're going to learn it from Manny step by step. Today, we are continuing our 11th season and our third episode of this season of Step by Step, as we're jumping into hearing about how to build and sell a business. And OpenStore is making all of this possible. Here in this third episode, we're talking about the role of building a scalable tech stack and the fundamentals behind it that help you build a business that ultimately you can sell.
Yeah.
So we're really excited. We're going to hear a story, first time that has ever been told. The founder of Werva is joining us here today, Manny Estrada. Welcome to the show, Manny.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thank you so much for the opportunity of being here.
Yeah, thank you. I think what we often overlook is in these like success stories is that, you know, it's normal, real everyday people that are behind building brands that, you know, actually get to a measure of success. Totally admirable. Really want to hear some of your story. What caused you to say, hey, Werva needs to exist and I need to build it?
So, yeah, Werva is pretty much a brand that represents, you know, the Mexican American culture. You know, my mom, first generation, came over here, had us, first generation Mexican American. Me and my wife, we built it up, and the brand kind of just represents, you know, Mexican-American culture, stuff that we were passionate about, and the designs that we created, you know, we wanted to share with other people that shared the same interests, and we just wanted to create a bunch of different designs and different stuff that wasn't really seen in our niche specifically. So
the product is super cool. I would encourage everyone to go check out werevashop.com right now as you're listening, if you can, werevashop.com. Really cool product.
Yeah. And a lot of it, what's it like sort of, you know, do you have a background in apparel production? You know, how did you decide, you know, to create an apparel brand, and what was the steps that you took? What were the steps that you took to get there?
So pretty much my like online journey and e-com and all that started back in 2014. So my main strength was marketing. I learned how to run Facebook ads, you know, copywriting, web design, learned all that stuff. I started the brand in 2020, and all the stuff that I learned since then, 2014, kind of led up to the creation of Werva and its success and all that. But my main strengths were marketing. And along the way, once I created the brand, I kind of figured out some other strengths I had, which was design and coming up with different designs that people like and testing them out and all that. So,
So design certainly seems like you have invested quite a bit in having a really diverse selection and quite a bit to choose from. What's it like running an apparel brand these days? You know, how much are you working with designers, and how do you orchestrate the various parts of the business?
When I started Werva, I just had a few designs that we started off. I didn't really go too big. Did a few. I had these ideas of these designs I wanted to do, pretty much wrote them down, and just found some different designers that I wanted to work with, kind of shared my vision for the brand, and ended up creating all these different designs. I didn't have too much experience in like the apparel industry, just found some, you know, actually when I first started, I reached out to a bunch of different designers, right? A bunch of different suppliers. I knew when I created Werva, I wanted the quality to be great. So, you know, tested, bought up from a bunch of different suppliers, tested them out, finally found a really good supplier, probably after like the fifth, sixth supplier, loved the quality, and ended up going with that supplier. And then as far as the designers, my process was pretty much, you know, I would reach out to the designer, let him know my vision for this certain specific design. And, you know, he'd send me back. Because, I mean, I wasn't obviously good at, you know, Photoshop and everything. But the vision, the what I wanted the product to be, I knew. And we edited a bunch of times until I found, you know, launched each design. I would try to launch a new design every month or 2 months. And each design, it probably had a bunch of different edits before I finally figured, okay, yeah, this is the one. This is going to work. And, you know, put it out into the market. Yeah.
You've created these incredible products. You had a background in marketing and digital marketing. And We're just looking at your site right now actively. You've built a strong direct consumer channel. What other channels are you selling through? Is it just your own site, or did you build out through other channels as well?
So in the beginning, in 2020, right, I started the brand. In August, that first year, those first few months into 2020, I was strictly just using Facebook, to run, to get traffic and all that. But during that time, that's when the iOS happened. Costs went up, and what happened too? Even though I was a new brand. I was just selling clothes, nothing really different than any other brand. But I was getting hit with a lot of bans on my Facebook page, or on my ad account, and stuff like that. You know, they would give it back, but it was just like a back and forth thing. And by the time they do the reviews and all that, I didn't really have no traffic for the 2-3 weeks. So that was my strategy, like in 2020, to grow. We did 6 figures. That even though it was only August, September, October, November, December, 5 months, we hit 6 figures that year. But the ban came around Christmas time, and I was back and forth. I was like, I can't. I tried to look different avenues. I was trying Snapchat ads, didn't really work too good. Pinterest ads wasn't that great. Facebook, especially to a lot of marketers, especially in the e-com space, they know that Facebook ads, you can scale. It's the cream of the crop in marketing. But when you get hit with this kind of these bans that hold you back and everything, I was like, I knew there has to be something different. So in 2021, I started doing influencer marketing. About February, it just hit. I had maybe 5-10 marketers, sent them out some merch, and it just hit. We probably... With those five, we probably did like a 5-figure day easy. I want to say like five. It was a $10,000 day, I remember. And so I ended up just focusing on that 2021. Finally, Facebook came back, gave me my ad account, all that. But I was just so focused and dialed in on influencer marketing, because not only was the, cost per acquisition to get a customer, but we acquired it way lower, right? It was way cheaper. So just focused on that. The ROAS was way higher, and we hit 7 figures in 2021 just doing influencer marketing. I think by the time I sold to OpenStore, I probably had about 100 influencers that were doing real good. Wow. And I would just, every time I would do like a launch or anything, I had about 50 that I would pick, and then do another 50 the following month and kind of just switch it up. So I think, so we did seven figures, and only 25% was in paid marketing. The other 75% was from influencer marketing. So
let's actually shift gears then to get into some of the tech enablement. Sounds like there's a real focus, at least from the day-to-day operations, in keeping the funnel filled, if you will, so to speak, mm-hmm. right? You're trying to keep demand coming into the store. Once you get a potential customer to the store, what are the kinds of apps or technology choices that you're making that sort of help you to serve your customer, help them find what they're looking for? What would you say are the real difference makers for you in the Shopify ecosystem?
If you're brand new, I would 100% recommend starting to build your customer basis, like an email list, an SMS list. There's a bunch of different apps that you can try. But me personally, I use Klaviyo to build my email list. And then I was using Emotive for my SMS. And that one's really user-friendly because, it's kind of expensive once you go look at it, but the cost kind of outweighs, because they help you with so much, the setup, the customer service, everything. They help me with all the setup, all the legal stuff too, with when it comes to SMS. And it was real easy. So I would recommend 100% building up your customer list with a Klaviyo email marketing and SMS. And then as far as taking care of your customer and all that, what other? Those were kind of just the real, real important ones for me starting off. I know when you grow a business, you start to get more customer inquiries and different stuff like that. In the beginning, I struggled with that a lot because I was a one man gang. But I recommend, you know, looking for some VAs and having them, because that's very important. Your customer.
Yeah, let's talk more about that. What are the kinds? So VA, for those not familiar, as virtual assistant. So it's sort of contractual hourly hires that you're making, and you're finding to what I'm going to guess, Manny, is complete discrete tasks that you give them, or potentially do a lot of repetitive work for you. How did you find virtual assistants, and how did you make sure that you were giving to them things and tasks in a way to make them successful for your business?
Okay. So, I mean, there's some fiverr.com. That's a good website to look. It's fiverr.com. You can find some pretty good VAs there. Good customer support too. All that. The ones that I use, it's a third party. I actually found out from these VAs. They're really great, real smart. They do everything. Graphic design, customer service. I actually found this from a friend of mine. I ended up purchasing his store, one of his stores, in a different niche. And he introduced me to this VA company. And they do amazing work. Customer service, everything on time, updating all the tracking numbers, real, real good stuff. So, and I don't mind sharing that. If you guys want to reach out, I don't mind sharing that company. They do great work too, because I know sometimes it's kind of hard to find a VA because, first of all, they're real expensive, especially if your brand's small. You can't really pay, $500, $1,000 when you could spend that in marketing and different stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of different VA, you know, you can Google virtual assistants and different stuff like that. But these VAs are fair price and everything, and they do amazing work. So if you want to reach out to me, or I'll share that info, of course.
Yeah, send it to us after. I'd love to hear more about it.
Hey, it's Philip. I am so proud to be partnered with OpenStore for this season of Step by Step. Of course, OpenStore acquires Shopify stores from entrepreneurs just like you. Because why? Because it's hard to run a business. Maybe you're ready to get that lucrative exit that you've been dreaming of, or you are an owner who's ready to break away from the stress of running and operating a business. That's why OpenStore exists. OpenStore gives you a streamlined process to allow a qualifying Shopify store owner just like you to get an offer for your business in just 24 hours, and maybe even cash in your bank in as little as 2 weeks. If you're currently operating a Shopify store and you're ready to sell, you can get an extra 10K, that's 10,000 large, for your Shopify store if you apply for an offer by visiting through our link, OpenStore. That's open.store/FC. Get that extra 10K when you sell to OpenStore. Open.store/FC.
I think there's a strategy that a lot of folks overlook, where in building, you know, a business, especially getting something up off the ground, they feel like they have to do everything themselves. And I once heard Brian a long time ago that the role of a COO in a company is to insert yourself into a business process and know it so intimately that you now know how to improve it and train others how to take it and how they can grow it and improve it themselves. And that is the role of a founder, right? The role of a founder is problem solving, understanding the problem space very intimately, and then handing it off to other people to sustain it. Manny, it sounds like that's what you've done. You've done it in a very sort of digital first, digital native way of, yeah. You know, so what are those tasks? Is it, I'm assuming it's design?
Yeah, so graphic designers, now in the new businesses that I own, we do a lot of custom work. So we'll have the same design, but it'll be a different name, or, you know, a custom name or something like that. And they'll just have to edit the name, but we'll have 50 to 100 orders per day. So that's kind of just his job, is just to update them, upload them. And then customer service too. We get a bunch of emails daily. They'll handle all the email customer support. And the other one, just uploading the tracking numbers of, and just different stuff like that. So little tasks, but they all add up, because even that's one thing that I learned from Werva, is because that brand, we fulfilled everything. We fulfilled everything. I just had my family helping me. But, you know, we were a seven-figure brand. I was ready before I sold to Open Store. I was ready to purchase land, you know, get a warehouse, start hiring employees. I had an accountant already to handle, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, but I ended up selling to Open Store. But that's one thing I learned is just all that stuff adds up. Even if you do customer service, that could take a task. That task could take all day. So outsourcing it, yeah.
And it's not just, you know, it is time that you'll never get back, but it's also the lack of focus when you're having to, you know, context switch all the time. Mm-hmm. Let's actually switch gears a little bit. I think one thing to just sum up that section, Manny, it sounds like you didn't sort of follow this pattern that I see a lot in the Shopify ecosystem of installing 25, 30 apps, always sampling them, uninstalling them, posting on Twitter about how smart you are about which apps are the best. You really kept it focused on the product, it sounds like.
Before I installed an app, honestly, I would kind of, I would look at YouTube videos, research different stuff. And for example, like my review, I knew I needed a good review app. I'd research which ones were pretty good. And Luke's.io was the best one. And I use that for all my brands now. Yeah, that's another review app. Email, I use Klaviyo. And then for SMS, I use Emotive. And what else do I use that's really important? Just those main things. But yeah, before I ever installed an app, I was always researching at YouTube. And if it worked, I kept it. If not, I uninstalled it, researched another one. That's what I did for SMS. Before I even got with Emotive, I did try a few. I don't remember their names, but I did try two different ones. They didn't work. And then I got with Emotive and it worked out great. Yeah.
I think there's another theme running through here. The same theme with the VA, which is find partners that can help you along the way. Like they're not just going to sell you a piece of software. They're going to like get in there and help you set up. And yeah, maybe you pay a little bit more, but if they provide the added value by being a true partner and not just handing over a piece of software.
I would even jump in and say partner is an overused word that is really nebulous.
In this case,
it sounds like Manny was like, I'm going to go get real honest feedback from real live people who have used this piece of software before and see what the deal is.
Right. Going doing research.
Yeah.
But also with Emotive in particular, earlier Manny said that they helped him like set things up, think through legal. Like that's the work of support. Like that's the work of not just software, but like providing not empty software, but software that you can actually use and set up for you to like actually leverage, as opposed to a lot of other pieces of software out there that are like, oh, just install this and you're good to go.
It fixes everything.
Yeah.
It does everything. It fixes everything. And by the way, it costs everything too.
Yeah.
Manny, let's talk about, you know, what was the decision point for you when you said the next phase for Werva is to find a partner to help us enable the next phase of growth. I might sell this business. Let's talk about that mindset first before we talk about how you did it.
Okay, definitely. Yeah, so when I started Werva, actually, I had that goal in mind. I knew I wanted to sell it. I wanted to exit out of the brand. And
from the beginning?
Yeah, from the beginning. I always had that kind of plan. And I knew to get a great offer, I had to hit those seven-figure marks, have good margins.
Is it your recommendation that founders set targets on revenue before they sell? And also, it was probably tempting, you know, as you were going along, you were seeing growth. You went from six to seven figures. How did you know it was the right time to sell the business as opposed to try and grow it further before you sold it?
So I was like on that. Like I was telling you earlier, on the crossroads, like I was about to buy land, about to buy this warehouse. And then in 2022, January, that's when I saw my first ad for Open Store. I saw the ad. I did research on them, saw all their articles that they were on, researched a little bit of the founders, and just saw they were legit and submitted my site, got an offer, thought about it for about a week, and ended up accepting the offer. But the reason I did it too was because I was on that route. I kind of didn't want to go into, you know, getting all these employees and doing all this stuff, because the businesses I own now, I ended up starting three different e-com stores, all in different niches, but they're all set up to where I don't have to hire no employees, different stuff like that. Right now, I just have those three VAs. My wife helps me, and everything's online, so it's great now. But that's where I was at. And then Open Store, they had the funds. You know, they raised so much money. I don't even know where they're at now. But they raised so much money. I knew that it was going to go in good hands. They were going to, you know, they had the logistics, they had the team, they had the money for funding, for advertising, huge, huge budget, right? So I knew it was going in great hands.
And what was the post-purchase experience like? Once you sold, how was it like letting go of the of your brand that you built?
Yeah, I'd like to hit on the sort of the emotional.
Yeah.
Like, how did it feel for you first?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, in the beginning, it's because, when I first started the brand, you know, it's my baby, the brand, you know, started it, grew it. It was amazing. But it was kind of sad to let it go in the beginning. But the offer was good, and I knew it was going in good hands. And I knew that this money that I got was going to help me. You know, not only my family, but like these new brands that I've invested in and growing, and
Tell me about a little bit about the process. So you you install the you connect your store right to Open Store. They give you a an offer, and did you sit on that offer for a little while? How long did it take you to sort of consider the process?
You connect your store. They ask for, different ad accounts and all that, your P&L. They ask for a P&L statement too, profit and loss statement, month to month. They checked all that stuff out. And so it was about a week before they gave me an offer. And then I got the email, showed it to my wife. We kind of sat on it for about a week as well too. And then I reached out to, the rep that was on it. And yeah, we took the offer, but yeah, we sat in about a week. I kind of still was thinking of, if I wanted to go that route or just take this money and go a different route. And I'm happy where I'm at now because, I don't have that of the employees and all that and the land and all that stuff. So,
Yeah. So you have seed capital for the next, phase of your own growth as a founder. Mm-hmm. What is the process? If there's others out there that are listening, that are thinking about going down the same path and the same journey, it sounds like you had a mindset from the very beginning of architecting for exit. That was a multi-year journey for you. So it sounds like you've given some homework to some potential listeners of how, what they're going to have to do to get themselves to that same point. Let's say you made the decision to sell. What was the process like in handing off and sort of onboarding through Open Store? What is that process like? And was it fairly simple or was it its own next set of challenges that you had to sort of adapt to?
No, it was great. It was a real easy process. So ended up accepting the offer. 2 weeks later, I got, I don't remember if it was 20-30% down first, and then 4 weeks later, I got the other. Full 70% what it was, so the full amount. And then 4 weeks later, I got the rest of my money for the inventory. They ended up purchasing all my inventory, which was another it was about 91,000. So took all that inventory too, got that paycheck. And then for the first 2 months, you stay on helping them kind of make sure everything's good. I helped them a little bit with the marketing, and they reimbursed me for that. Got that payment too about, a couple months later, and it was great. It was a good process. The team, they have a real good customer service team, marketing team, and Brian too. Brian Quinley, great guy, real helpful. Any questions I had, he was there, and he made it really easy too. And yeah, it was a good process. It wasn't really hard at all. They have just a great team. So I know anyone that ends up selling the store, it's just going to be an easy process for sure.
Let's kind of shift into the, it sounds like you're on to the next thing. So you're heading into this next phase of growth as an entrepreneur. Sounds like you have a team of people who have been around you to rally around you, support you for in your endeavors for years now. Mm-hmm. Do they come along with you to the next phase, or do they stay behind to help Werva? What does that sort of look like for the team post exit for you?
So, when I had Werva, it was just mainly my family, right, helping me with the logistics, like shipping, handling, stuff like that. As far as the digital side, I did have some VAs and different stuff like that, but I brought them here with me. They still help me with all the different stuff. I know, like, if you have a, it just depends each brand situation. I would see, like, if you own land and you know, machines, and your business was, you know, required those machines or required that place. I think, you know, they price end up staying, but like, they pretty much have everything, like their customer support, they have their own marketing team, they have all that. So, but as far as mine, I was still like, you know, in the smaller phase, I just had the VAs and I brought them over here with my new brand. So, yeah.
So cool. Yeah. Is there any decision along the way that, if you had made that decision a different direction, you had picked something else, you feel like you would have not ended up where you were, like it would have blocked you from getting to where you are?
As far as not selling my store? I'm
sorry. Yeah, exactly. Like you wouldn't have been able to hit that level of growth. Like I'm thinking about how you pivoted to influencers. How did you go after those influencers? How did you scale from just a few to over 100?
It was all hand-picked. I didn't really use a software agency or anything like that. I did research some, but I just kind of hand-picked it, hand-picked them all and grew it along the way. Started with 5 to 10, middle of the year had probably about 50, end of the year in 2021 had about 100. And yeah, I'll just hand-pick them, reach out to them. A lot of micro-influencers, I know a lot of people, you know, might shy away, but, you know, definitely use a micro influencer, even if they don't have, you know, 100,000, a million, even if they have 1,000, 5,000, reach out to them, send them your product. You can also get some, user generated content from them that you could use in ads. And, it works great. And then the thing is too, like, once I had that, I grew that list of all those influencers, maybe they had 1,000, 5,000, but, you know, I had 50 of them all at the same time posting. And yeah, it was just, you know, snowball effect.
The strategy of you keeping the relationship with those influencers means that you can work with them in your next endeavor too, where you've already identified and built the skill of how do we find creators that are aligned well with the brand that we're trying to build. And mm-hmm. You've now built an internal capability in the business as opposed to just basically hiring a piece of software or an agency to do so for you.
Influencer marketing, you know, 10x my ROAS, my return on ad spend, you would say, because, you know, I did spend for the advertising for the influencers, but it lowered my cost per acquisition for a customer and hired my margins for sure, because my acquisition was lower. So my margins were better at the end each day. So I would highly recommend, if you're thinking of selling, try influencer marketing 100%. That will lower your cost a lot and then help your margin too at the end, so you can get a better offer. I feel like if I wouldn't have done influencer marketing, and let's say I'd gone to even TikTok ads, I know a lot of people are saying that the CPMs are really low there, but you're still paying to acquire a customer, even if it's at 10, 20 bucks per person, that's still 20 bucks. That's off your margin, right? I believe my offer would have been lower, definitely.
When it's critical to your business's success, having the capability of not just understanding how to pull certain growth levers in your business, Brian, it's so important to have that internally if it's a key channel for your success.
Totally agree.
Yeah. When you've outsourced everything, I really start to question how much you truly understand what it takes to make your company successful. Having worked in it for so long, back when e-commerce was very dev heavy and you had to have devs on staff, by and large, the businesses that struggled with growth were the ones that outsourced things that were you know, pivotal for them to be able to build and scale. And back then it was developers. Today it's demand gen. And I think that this is a really valuable lesson to have heard, especially when you're trying to build an architect specifically for an exit. Brian, I'll let you bring us home.
Oh, no, I think we should let Manny bring us home. Manny, what's your final piece of advice for those listening and that are looking to make an exit in the, you know, in the not so distant future?
Yeah. So if you're brand new, you know, you want to have funds for a brand, definitely pick a niche, you know, go niche specific. And then once you grow it, get success, bring some revenue in, start adding different stuff. You know, I was very niche specific in my brand. It was just hoodies, but it was in the Mexican American niche, right? Hoodies. Then later I added, you know, jerseys and other different types of sweatshirts and slides and just a variety of different stuff. But I was really niched down in the beginning. After that, things are going to happen for sure. You know, ad accounts, competitors, different stuff. But don't let it bring you down, even though, like my wife was telling me, she's like, yeah, you know, if that would have happened to a lot of people, even me, you know, I probably would have gave up, you know, with the ad account bans and different stuff like that. But, you know, I hope this advice helps some people that are listening try influencer marketing. If you haven't, definitely put that in your arsenal for marketing. I guarantee you that it would definitely, you know, give it a shot. It'll definitely help and increase your margins. And yeah. I mean,
amazing.
Yeah.
You've been so wonderful, very candid on this. I really appreciate it. Very few people can tell their story, I think, with as much humility as Manny here, but also with sort of the level of depth and insight of, hey, we're going to be focused from the beginning. We're going to keep the important things at the, you know, and keep it simple, but really invest in the important areas for growth. Very few business operators at your level are as disciplined. And I think that is an amazing takeaway. What an amazing time to have, you know, built a business. Congrats on all of your success, Manny. Mm.
Yeah, and no, thank you guys so much for the opportunity to be on here. And yeah, thank you. It was a great journey.
And thank you all for listening. You can find more episodes of this podcast and all Future Commerce properties at futurecommerce.fm. And we'd love for you to subscribe to our newsletter so you never miss a new episode of Step by Step or Future Commerce. You can get that at futurecommerce.fm/subscribe. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Step by Step. You can find more episodes of this podcast and other seasons of Step by Step at futurecommerce.fm. And Brian, we've covered a lot over the years on Step by Step. What are some of the other topics that our listeners can dive into to learn a little bit more?
You can learn about how to compete or not compete with Amazon. You can learn about funding for retail and commerce. You can learn about shipping and all the intricacies that come with shipping and opportunities that come with shipping. You can learn about customer experience and how it's so different from customer service, how to turn that into a revenue generating center. It's so, so much more.
Oh my gosh. And this is the 11th season. If you're not on our mailing list, best way to stay up to date with everything that we're doing is to go to futurecommerce.fm/subscribe. And of course, visit Open Store. We have a special offer for you in maximizing the valuation for your dream exit. If you were to sell your business through Open Store, it takes just a couple minutes to get a valuation. And hey, maybe the next phase in the success of the growth of your business is to sell it to Open Store. Hundreds of brands have done so. Maybe yours is the next one. Thank you to Open Store for giving us their support and trust here on this 11th season of Step by Step.